everybody. Welcome to Living Linky Style. My name is Linky Marais, and I am so excited about tonight's show. This show is all about being interactive, having fun, talking food, cocktails, spices, indoor, outdoor entertaining, grilling, smoking, and many more things. My show concept was inspired by my favorite chef, Julia Child, where she said you didn't have to be fancy to cook great. You just have to, just be creative and just try all different kinds of things. And remember that practice makes perfect. Guys, I am excited about tonight because we're talking tailgating, and I just learned what the final score was for the football. So I'm thrilled. And let me tell you something. You guys are going to be so excited when you hear that my guest tonight is not only a great friend, but y'all, I met this guy a couple of years ago, and he introduced me to the Big Green Egg, which is my favorite toy and that I have been completely addicted to for the past 2 years. I can't even say enough about this man. He is not only has not only been inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, he's been on numerous TV shows and TV channels. He's got multiple articles and magazines, many cookbooks. And the favorite part is, like I said, he's an egghead, y'all. Welcome, Dr. Barbecue. Ray, are you there?
I'm here. Good to hear you, Linky. Nice to hear all that nice stuff about me, too.
I know. Well, I mean, it's all true. It's all true. And let me tell you something. I saw that you're from Chicago, so it's like I had the perfect intro for you tonight anyways. Tell us about that. How did you get started cooking?
For sure.
I
got started cooking in high school. It was the 70s, the 1970s. It was a long time ago. And I was just a goof-off kid in high school, and my friends and I thought, well, we'll sign up for foods class. How bad can that be? Well, we'll get to eat and cook and hang around. There'll probably be a bunch of girls in the class. So let's do that. So we signed up for it. Well, back then it was different. Now I get the pleasure, and you probably do too, to go to these culinary programs in high school where these kids are really learning how to cook in a business kind of way, to be restaurant chefs or whatever the career may lead to. Back then, it was to teach girls how to cook for their family. It was no misunderstanding. So when we showed up in the class, the little old lady, she thought she couldn't figure out what was going on. She thought we were crazy, and we were disrupting the class. And, I mean, it was all of a sudden, it was 1973. The world was changing fast, and we were part of it. And this old lady thought we were nuts. I always joke, and I said it in one of my books, I think Miss Perkins would be very surprised at how things turned out for me, because we really were just there to goof off. We didn't, this wasn't like any kind of career move. I was just there to eat and have some fun. And that's where it all started for me. But the thing was, I really enjoyed the cooking from day one. We learned how to make. I don't have any of the papers or anything, but we made blueberry muffins, I remember, and an apple pie. We learned how to make a pie crust. We learned how to make a crab quiche, which was pretty nouveau for back then. And there was a few different things we learned how to make. We didn't cook every day, but we cooked, every week or every other week or whatever it was. But I enjoyed the cooking. I really did like to do it, and it stayed with me forever. From then on, from age 15 on or whatever, I have always known how to cook, and I always enjoyed cooking. I'd cook for the family back then, and then I was as I moved into my real life, I was a single guy, and I could cook dinner for myself. I could cook dinner for my friends. I could cook dinner for my girlfriend. Yeah, it was nice to know how to cook, but barbecue came along much later. But I always, I started cooking at an early age, and I just always enjoyed it.
Now, how did the barbecue come along? Did you just start to play around with it, or was it just literally you're out there grilling for your friends at football games or parties, how did that start?
It just wasn't a thing in my life, barbecuing or even grilling for that matter. But a friend of mine signed us up for a barbecue rib cooking class in 1982. So I guess I was 25 years old, and I really had not grilled before that. Oh, maybe I had tried it, but it wasn't something I did. And friend signed us up, and I didn't even have a grill. So I borrowed a Weber kettle and went and bought some ribs and did a little best homework I could to learn about how to cook ribs. And I went to this rib cook-off in 1982, and it's become a very famous thing. It was Mike Royko was the columnist in the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times, whatever, one of the big papers. And he had challenged his neighbor to cook better barbecued ribs, and then it became a whole event, and 400 teams showed up. But there were no teams back then. Barbecue competition, as we know it now, didn't exist. So
yeah.
I showed up, and there was all these guys. It was just a group of guys, you know, four guys with a Weber kettle and a little table and chairs and a cooler full of beer. And,
wow.
And it was like, well, this is fun. I fit right in here. Much like the first time you showed up, Link. It was like,
I know, that
it
is about the
meat.
First time.
Meat and beer and,
it does
beer. And fire. Geez, I'm going to fit right in here. And it's true, though. And ever
exactly.
since then, it became an obsession for me. So that's, you know, 1982. This will be my 33rd year cooking in barbecue competitions. And
wow.
It's pretty hard to find anybody that started before me. I can name you about two or three people from Texas, and that'll be about all the other people you're going to find anywhere that started before
wow.
me.
Of course the Texans would have started before you. They
yeah,
are the only
course.
Ones. But you know what, Doc? One day when I grow up, I want to be like you, okay? I'm just gonna come out and say that in public.
Well, I'm a very lucky man. I have a great life.
Well, tell me, did you watch the football game? Who are you rooting for? And who's your favorite football team?
Well, I'm a Chicago Bears fan because I grew up in Chicago my whole life. So my only thing I had left after about halfway through the season, the Bears were so bad this year, was to root against the Packers. And that's not going
oh, okay.
well. They're still alive. So I
well,
posted
so then
a
you
picture
can join
of myself
me on,
today.
That, well, then you Go can ahead. Join me on team Patriots then.
Oh, God, I don't really like them either. I'm thinking about going with Seattle because nobody cares about Seattle. I was on the Cowboy bandwagon for a day today. I posted a picture on Facebook of myself wearing my Cowboy hat that I never wear. but it didn't work out. The Cowboys are gone, so I can't root for them. So I don't
no.
know. I don't care.
I'm going to talk you into rooting
for that. But I do
enjoy it.
It's fun to watch. There's been a lot of good games, and it is fun to watch this time of year, but I just don't care who wins.
Yeah, you know, it just depends. Like, you just never know who's going to be good, you know, from year to year. But, you know, like you said, it's so much fun to watch. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me it's all about the party and the food and the friends and everybody being together. So now, do you usually host your own tailgating parties, or do you usually, prefer to go to them? What do you do?
Well, I mean, I have a long history of tailgating, too. I tailgated at Chicago Bears games from probably, the 70s till the 90s. We would go out there just about every week, and we had a group of about a dozen guys that had tickets, and we would take turns. So if it was your turn, you had to bring everything for tailgating that day. You had to bring all the food and all the beer and account for everything. And then the rest of the season, you just got to show up. And I thought that was a pretty good system because when it was your turn, you didn't mind really throwing down, you know, spend a bunch of money, buy a bunch of nice stuff, really make the effort. And the rest of the year, you could just show up hungover and eat and drink. It was really nice. Some of the great memories I have of that were I remember I bought a KitchenAid mixer, and I bought the grinding attachment, the sausage-making attachment. So I was making sausage. So I made this sausage. I ground up some pork butt. I put a whole bunch of fresh garlic in it, like a whole bunch, and seasoned
Yum.
It all up. And I went out there and cooked it before the game. Oh, it was good. It was really good, but it was too much. So the poor people in front of us, you know, we went and sat in the same seats every time, and people knew us. And at some point, they're like, what did you guys eat? Because we were just sitting there burping up all this garlic during the whole game. We had a lot of fun like that. I always remember the guy, our friend Gus, it was his turn to cook, and he showed up in his Porsche, and in the back of the Porsche was two coolers, one full of beer and one full of shish kebabs. And somebody had a grill, and we fired up the grill and cooked the shish kebabs. So I have a long history of it. These days I don't go to the game much, so it's mostly at home. And actually, I did this tailgating project the last couple of years, cook-off before kickoff, where we went around the country and went to other people's tailgates. So, I mean, believe me, I'm way more about the food than I am the game just about any time I go. It's definitely important to me, for sure. But these days, I don't go to the game much.
I agree. I will have to agree. It's kind of like when I was a dancer in college at the football games. I cared more about dancing and not falling over my own feet than I really did, you know, about the game and everything. But now, I mean, I love the game, but it's like you said, it's more about the food. It's more about like the prep and everything and like the being together and just the smell of it. Now, you said you went around like a whole bunch of tailgating parties. Do you have a favorite or was there just so many great ones out there? Because there's some people that throw down on these tailgating parties.
Yeah, well, it was college football, so everywhere we went, it was serious business.
Oh,
we went to
nice.
We went to Oregon, where the Ducks. I mean, they're a little less, you know, it's just a different kind of culture out there. But it's serious. There's serious tailgating going on, but they're really about the game probably more than some of the other places. We went to South Carolina, where it's old tradition, and with these tailgating spots that the guys we were with. It was like a condominium deal. There's a building with a restroom and like a ballroom, and everybody gets a stall that's half covered. So your truck is there and your party is there, but you can use the building also. I mean, this was high dollar tailgating. And the old traditions, these guys did a huge boil, you know, with crabs and sausage and stuff. And then we went to Tallahassee. Same kind of thing, Tallahassee. I mean, they've been tailgating there for a long time. And of course, they were the reigning national champions. This was, you know, a serious business then. But, and we went to a bunch of other places too, but there's one that stands out, and it's Baton Rouge. You just, anytime you get to Louisiana, you know the folks are so much about the food and the party, and they don't let you down in Baton Rouge.
Absolutely. I've heard about that. And because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I lived in Oxford, Mississippi for several years. And they're one of like the biggest tailgating schools. And these people, they bring in chandeliers. They bring in flat screen TVs. I mean, it's ridiculous how much money they spend on their tailgating. So, Doc, I am determined we're going to go to one of those next year. I'm going to make a date with you and Sandy. We're going to go and we're going to go attend one of
Baton Rouge.
They're so much fun.
It's
okay, well,
time
then
there.
I'll go to that.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Now let me ask you something. You guys, if you don't know this, there's a new Big Green Egg, you know, to the family, and it's called the Mini Max, and it's absolutely fantastic. Doc, have you ever taken your Mini Max out to these games and just grilled on your egg, and people just come and they just go, oh, this is the coolest thing ever?
I haven't yet just because it's new, but I'm sure that's exactly what will happen. And it's easy to transport. A friend of mine is sort of in the process of retiring. He bought an RV, and he's on his way down here next week, I guess. And he called me the other day from the store and said, what size egg should I buy for my RV? And I said, the Mini Max for sure, if you can get your hands on one. But basically, it's just because it's kind of new. You know, they're not out there yet. But, yeah, you know what kind of reaction you're going to get from that thing. What happened in my house was I got one, an early prototype, and put it out in the backyard, and Sandy walked out one day and said, well, I want to try to cook on that one. And she's never said that before, and I thought that was interesting because it's that non-intimidating size. And then my work wife, Beth, was here, and the girl I do the tailgating project with, and she came in out in the yard and said, hey, that's the size I want. So it was really kind of interesting how that size just seemed to click for people that weren't afraid of it, you know, like they maybe are the large. I know you're not scared of any of the size ones, but a lot of girls are.
Yes, no, it's true. It's true. And I actually, like, I love the double XL, but the mini has been, the mini egg has been my favorite because we take that thing everywhere. We took it all the way to Niagara Falls to go camp. But the Mini Max is just, it's got like that bigger grip just for you guys out there. It's about a 13 inch grid. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Barbecue. And it's fantastic because you can fit so many different items on there, and it only weighs about, 60, 70 pounds? So it's really not that heavy. It's got these great carriers.
Yeah, it comes with a nice carrier too, right? So it's really easy to carry. I was never a fan of the Mini. I carried one around one summer and never even lit it. It just seemed virginal to me. It was so small, and I just didn't want to soil it. It's just kind of my attitude about it. I never even lit the thing, and I gave it back to him and said, I don't want this thing. But I've never really been a fan of the Mini. Mini Max I love because you can cook some stuff on. Mini was a little too small for my liking.
I can see that.
Really wasn't much of a smoker. What size pizza could you have cooked on that thing? Where the Mini Max, actually, when I first got it, I tried smoking stuff on it and grilling on it, hooked my DigiQ up to it, and it worked fine on all accounts. So I'm a big fan of the Mini Max. I will take that thing everywhere.
Yes, no, I love it too. Now, speaking of smoking and grilling, do you have a favorite tailgating food that you love to eat that, like, it's just absolutely your go-to?
I was thinking about this. We're talking about for eating, not what I would be cooking necessarily for
other
people.
Yeah, for eating.
If I'm eating, I would like something simple and grilled. Italian sausage sandwiches, just get some good Italian sausage. The Chicago, that's something we would have all the time. And grill them up with some good bread or maybe burgers, just simple grilled burgers. That's what I want. Just regular backyard barbecue food. That's sort of what I would want. Something simple. Sandwiches are always good. You don't want to make stuff that people is too complicated to eat. So that, for me, that's kind of what I like. Simple stuff that's just a grilled sandwich.
And it's so funny that you say that, because nowadays, people try to think out of the box and they try to be so fancy with different food items. But when it comes down to it, you want something that you can hold in your hand, that you can, that's not going to make a mess. Even if it's a sandwich, it's just something that it's just easy to eat. And I have to agree with you. Nothing says to me tailgating like a good old slider.
Sliders are nice, right?
Yeah, like a good old slider. I love some lamb sliders and things like that. So it's funny that you said that you just like the simple things, like the Italian, sausages, as long as it's grilled. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
But now, this is your favorite thing to eat. Do you have a favorite thing that you love to serve people?
That's a loaded question for me. I don't know if you even know this. I wrote the NFL Game Day Cookbook few years back.
I do know that.
So
yeah,
I put a lot of thought and effort into this. What do people want to eat? How do you serve it? And what I settled on for the book was that not everybody goes to the game. So let's not limit ourselves to just burgers and sandwiches. A lot of people do tailgate at home, or they go to the local bar, or they all eat at their friend's house. So I was a little more elaborate. But I think sandwiches are good. I think soups and stews are good. If it's a hot or cold day, and you just bring big mugs to serve it in, and I think that's easy and people enjoy that. When it's hot, chili, of course, is a really good thing. One of the things I mentioned in the book was I made some stuffed burgers. And so, of course, it's a great big burger on a great big bun. And one of the things I suggested was cut the burgers into halves or even quarters. Because the guy that wants to eat a whole burger, he's not, that's fine. I don't care. You could take two halves or you could take four quarters. But not everybody wants that, So I like to do stuff like that. I think it's always good to have like a warm side dish, some mac and cheese, or I used to bring like au gratin potatoes, make a big pan of those. And those you can bring hot from home, warm it up in the oven in the morning and wrap it up in towels or something. Or if you have a Cambro, like a catering container, a lot of tailgaters do it. Serious business, or even the empty cooler, throw it in there and it'll stay hot. I used to, lasagna is a good idea if you'd go into the game, or like a baked ziti kind of thing, because you can heat it up good at home, stick it in the cooler, and you get there and it's plenty hot. So a lot, I like to do different things. I would like to serve, for me, I'm going to probably serve all of those things, because I want people to have choices. But the one thing I really learned when we used to tailgate all the time was to bring some cookies or cupcakes or something, and put that and some dips out early. First of all, people are going to bug you as the chef. If the food's not ready, they're going to bug the heck out of you until you feed them something and get in your way and bother you. If you got some chips and dips out, it's going to keep them shut up for a while and sweet, because there's always going to be some people that really do live by the eat dessert first. And what the heck, when you take on the job of being the tailgate chef, for the day, you got to get serious about it. People are counting on you to feed them, and you got to take it seriously.
That's right. The big thing that stood out for me, for all of those, like my mouth is like dripping here, even though I've already had like dinner tonight. I'm hungry again. But the thing that stood out, especially this time of the year around like the northern parts, of course, you're in Florida where it's beautiful, you know, all year round most of the time. But
yes.
Is the chilies, because I mean, it really does warm you up from the inside out. Do you have a favorite chili that you like to make?
I don't do it very often, but I really like making my chili with lamb. I think lamb
Ooh.
Just, oh, you know, it just makes that, it helps make the broth so rich and that mouthfeel, kind of greasy a little bit, kind of feel of lamb, like a lamb gravy. That's what I like to do. And I always tell people, get good chili powder. You know, I got a question the other day. It was for a rub I made. No, it was for a chili recipe from one of my books. And the person said, your recipe called for a half a cup of chili powder. And I thought that was too much. And I put a quarter cup in, and my chili was still really hot. Well, my chili powder is not very spicy at all. But who knows what these people used, you know? Some horrible chili powder from the grocery store. I try not to be a snob about ingredients, but chili powder to me is really an important one. Either go to the Spanish aisle and buy some of those weird looking ones and try it and taste them and mix them together, or
weird looking.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm laughing at you. You said weird looking ones. That's just funny.
Well, but me and you are the kind of person that goes right for the weird. Not everybody's like that. Some folks are kind of weirded out by that, so they just buy the stuff that, like, it's over in the spice aisle, I mean, in the little green jar, and it's all almost black, that chili powder, and it's mostly cayenne, and that's not what you want. Good chili powder is not very spicy at all. I buy it. I've been preaching for years. And I just talked to some folks that I told 10 years ago about this, so they still use it. A company called Tenderys in Fort Worth, TenderyS.com. And they have one called San Antonio Red. And it's this beautiful color and this rich kind of a California chili, kind of a New Mexico chili. Not spicy, but just really good stuff. I love that stuff. It's a blend of some kind, but whatever. It's great. And I wish people would buy that. When they do, they're happy.
Well, I'm going to have to try that because I haven't tried it. And I'm going to have to try the lamb chili. I mean, being from South Africa, my husband was raised on a sheep farm in South Africa, so we eat lamb almost, like, all the time. And I have never made a lamb chili. I don't know what I'm – obviously, I don't know what I'm missing here. Doc, you've got me inspired. Guess who's having chili tomorrow night?
Oh, you'll love it. If you have my NFL book, if not, remind me and I'll send you one. But it's the lamb chili recipe's in there. I think it's really good. I think, as you know, coming from South Africa, Americans don't, why we don't eat more lamb, I don't know. I mean, the rest of the world eats lamb and beef kind of interchangeably, and we somehow view it as this luxury product that people are scared to eat. And I don't understand it because, you know, you go around the rest of the world and they eat lamb. It's not a luxury special occasion thing. It's, you eat it just like you do beef, right?
That's right. And I think it's up and coming. I mean, it's more readily available, I think. I think it's something that people were scared of initially. And especially sometimes the smell when you cook it is a little bit more gamey. And some people, you know, they were more likely to order it at a restaurant than they were to cook it at home. But I think with, you know, education and all the Food Network channels and everything, I think people are more willing to take risks. And guys, I want to say this, like the chili that Doc mentioned a minute ago, try new things, try new items, go out there. Even if it doesn't work, you know, then at least you tried something new and then you know if you like it or not. Exactly. But no, we were talking about the chili, and that got me thinking about smoking for some reason, of course. I'm always thinking when I think chili and paprika, I think smoking. And that got me thinking about wings because, you know, everybody always asks me, for some reason, I think wings should be at a tailgating, at a tailgating party, and I do agree with that. I love a good wing. Have a question for you. Do you cook a lot of course you cook a lot of wings, but do you grill them or do you smoke them? And do you do them like indirect heat or direct heat? Tell me, what do you love to do with your wings?
My favorite way to cook them is, now I don't use a lot of extra wood in the eggs because we use lump charcoal, which is just charred wood. And most
that's
of
right.
the time for me, that's enough smoke flavor. Now, if I'm doing a brisket or pork butt or ribs, I may or may not add some extra wood, depending on what mood I'm in. But I find that people like less smoke more than they like more smoke.
I agree.
Less is more. Because we get, you know, as the pitmaster, you get excited about it. And, well, if one chunk of wood is good, three must be better. And it's just not
yeah.
always true. So many, you know, it's a man thing too. You know, they just want to get it. If one was good, three must be better. And I had this conversation so many times where a guy will walk up with his wife, and they've got an egg, and they've got this little, you know, struggle going on about his food being too smoky. And I'll tell him, and I know, you know, I can see who's lobbying which way. It's the same every time. She's lobbying for less smoke, and he's lobbying for more smoke. And I will always tell him that, listen, if people are saying your food is too smoky, it is.
You.
Yes, there's no misunderstanding. It's not just them. It's you. I mean, for one, you're out there next to the smoke, and you kind of get desensitized to it. So you kind of enjoy it more. Plus, you know, you're just into it. I remember when I first learned how to smoke, I had this little offset cook, and my neighbor gave me a giant hickory log, and I would just cut big logs off, a big slab of hickory he gave me, like a piece of a tree, and I would just cut this green hickory off and throw it in my smoker, and the food was like eating aluminum foil. It was like your mouth was like metal. I was like, what is
wow.
going on with this? Till I figured it out. That's because you use too much wood, too much green wood. So I don't use a lot of wood. But anyway, to get back to wings, I mean, if you want to smoke your wings, I'm happy to eat them. I don't dislike them. But the way I like to cook them is indirect on the egg with the plate setter at about 500 degrees. And that's an unused way of cooking on the egg. I think people are afraid that if they get the egg too hot with the plate setter in there, it would break, and it won't.
No, it won't.
If you got it to about 2,000 degrees, I might be worried about it, but I wouldn't recommend cooking that hot anyway. So,
no.
at 550 indirect, I like to cook my chicken, a lot of chicken parts that way, because they'll get cooked pretty quick, and they'll get crunchy, but you don't have to babysit them either, like grilling them direct. When you know, wings got a lot of fat in them. When you grill them direct, I like them that way, but it's a lot of work. You really got to stay on it. So
I know you have to babysit them.
Yeah, if you're cooking straight over the fire, right, or they'll burn up for sure. And it's almost impossible to burn them with the plate setter, but at 500 or 550, you'll get some crisp on them. And so that's been my favorite way of cooking chicken for the last couple of years. I've been trying to spread that word to everybody.
And I love that. Now, of course, I'm a fan of direct heat, but it's the only reason why is because I'm so impatient. I mean, if I'm going to smoke something or do something indirect, then most of the time it's something baking where I know it's going to take a couple of hours. But mm-hmm. if you crank up that heat, then like you said, then you get that nice crisp with the plate sitter in there. Then you get that nice crisp, but you don't have to babysit them. I love that idea, is not having to babysit them. So
It's
like
good.
You said, yeah, and folks, it's like you said, you know, there's it's a porcelain plate, so it can stand up to that heat. I mean, I do my pizzas most of the time. I crank up my egg to 550, almost 600, with the plate sitter or the new word convector, and you get your pizza stone in there,
right.
And it can handle the heat. It's not going to break. It's not going to break at all.
Yeah, it's not going to break because of the heat. It may break if you drop it on the ground when you try to take it out. You know, that's the thing we try to do sometimes. So you try to smoke something for a while and then take the plates that are out and finish it direct. And that's a good way to go,
exactly.
too. But have a good plan for getting that plate setter out of there, because I've seen guys burn themselves. I've seen guys, I personally have done it, broke my plate setter because it was too hot to handle. You know, you got to have a plan. Whatever that plan is, have a place to set it and have a plan
that's
for getting
right.
it out of there.
Exactly. And that's why I love the pit mitts. Guys, if you don't have pit mitts, whether you have a bigger egg or not, you need some pit mitts. It can stand up the heat.
Yeah.
And not for a long period of time, but it's just fantastic to handle hot items. And speaking about hot,
having a place to put it comes in. Because you can grab them with those mitts, and they work good, but not for forever. You know, you got to have
not
a plan
for very
where
long.
It's gonna go. And then you don't want your kid running into it either. You set it in a spot where your kid or your dog can get at it. That's not good either.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, do you usually just put it flat on the ground, speaking about that, or do you prop it up against the egg? What do you do?
Yeah, for me, it's usually flat on the ground because if it's up against the egg, somebody's going to bump into it, knock it down, and
yeah.
make it broke.
That's right. That's right. Now, like I just said, speaking about all this heat, I'm thirsty already. I'm ready to pour next glass of wine. Speaking about wine and cocktails, what's your poison? What is your favorite cocktail beverage at the tailgating events? Are you a beer guy? Do you like to mix different cocktails? What's your beverage of choice at tailgating parties?
Well, beer's got to be the tailgating choice because it's just I sure like to drink whiskey, but you can't drink whiskey for a 6 hour run at the game. You know, it just doesn't work out very well for you. So if you're going to drink whiskey, you might want to start later or something. You can't just do it the whole time. So, yeah, it's got to be beer. I usually try to. What I tell people is ask your guests what they like. You know, if you got a guest and all he drinks is Bud Light, well, Cal, get him some Bud Light, you know. Let him have some fun, too. Why? Don't force the guy to drink some goofy craft beer with pumpkin in it that you like or you think he should like or that nobody else will drink, so you're trying to get rid of it. You know, get your guests what they like. Want them to have a good time.
Do you cook with your beer as well? You know, craft beer is and cooking with beer and beer pairings is so big right now. Do you ever marinate your wings in it? Or
I've never
do you not mess around with that?
I've never really liked cooking with beer. It, you know, it's like the classic guy that doesn't know how to cook thing, you know, much like the smoke thing. I'm cooking this and it's going along pretty well and I'm drinking some beer. I got an idea. I better put some beer in this. But I don't think any woman ever thought about that. Hey, I got an idea. I better put some beer in this dish. It's the classic guy thing. So, and most of the time it's ill-advised. You know, there are dishes. Many years ago, we were Cabela's sponsored a series of barbecue cook-offs. And what they would do is we had the regular four categories, chicken, ribs, brisket, and pork. And then it was a surprise category. They'd give us some wild game every time when we got there. So we never knew what it was going to be. So my strategy for it always was put some barbecue rub on it and smoke it for a while and put it in a pan and pour a can of beer over it, cover it in foil, and put it back in and cook it till it's tender. And then you taste it. And if it's good, you're done. If it's not good, then you put some teriyaki sauce on it. And you turn it in.
I love it.
That with some beef ribs one day. I think it was beef ribs I believe it was beef ribs. And for whatever reason, the beer and the beef ribs actually worked out pretty good together. So I do that occasionally. Chili is the thing where everybody thinks you should pour beer in. For me, when you taste chili, it tastes like barbecue sauce. That's what I find happens if I pour a beer in. It sort of gets a barbecue sauce flavor going, and I'm not a fan of that. So, in general, I prefer to cook something that tastes good while drinking a beer.
And I mean, I do agree with that. There are some great recipes out there right now, and I like to play around with the deeper, you know, the IPAs and then like the Guinness and things like that. But I do agree. Like, it's not an easy way out like a lot of people think it is. It is an easy way out. You know, for most people, they say, oh, let's marinate it in beer and let's, you know, get it over with. But that's the funniest story about putting rub on it. Then if it doesn't work, beer. And then if that doesn't work, then teriyaki. I'm going to remember that if I'm ever in a chop challenge or something.
Yeah, you put the teriyaki on anything, it's going to taste pretty good.
It's going to taste delicious.
It's going to cover up the taste of what it really is under there.
Exactly. Now, Doc, I know that I've talked so much about tailgating and you prepping and everything, but do you have a favorite thing about the tailgating? Is it that, you know, because sometimes the games are early in the morning, you have to get up there really early, and sometimes it's chilly. Is it that and the smell of the smoke as people light up their grills? Is it the cocktails? Is it preparing the food? Is it seeing everybody enjoy your food? What is your favorite thing about tailgating?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a natural for me. You know, I've I say this jokingly a lot, but it's true. I've probably cooked more meals outside than I have in a kitchen in my life. And
nice.
I just like that. You know, I prefer to cook outside. So the challenge of making sure that you've brought everything and making sure that you want it to be good. You know, it's not a matter of I'll just stop and get some sausages on the way to the game and grill that I throw away. I want this to be really good. It's a challenge for me to get everything there appropriately and serve a really good meal. That's what I want to do. So I get that whole challenge. I enjoy that. I definitely like to be outside to cook. Obviously, cooking over fire is what I do. So, and the camaraderie of the whole thing. We met on the tailgate tour, the college tailgate thing we did this year. I was amazed how many people we met that were there and had no intention of going into the game. They weren't even thinking about it. If you'd offered them a ticket, they didn't want to go. They brought a TV, and they were going to watch anyway. They were just there for the camaraderie and to be outside and have this nice sort of picnic barbecue thing and with all the people with the common goal. You know, it was funny. We would be at, like, the Tallahassee, Florida State tailgate party, and I'm not a Florida State fan. I'm like the opposite of a Florida State fan. But here I am at their tailgate party, and I'm working, and I'm trying to be nice to them, so I'm not going to, you know, even jokingly argue with them about it. So they're having these conversations about their team and their guys that, you know, it's so one-sided, there's nobody at the party that would question any of this, no matter how ridiculous it might have gotten. You know what I mean? It was just absolutely a given that they were going to win and that their guys were all superior and that anytime they didn't win, they got screwed. And it was just, you know, and there's 100 people there and 100 of them agreed on this. So that's the fun of it. You know, it's sports. We are all on the same team, and we totally agree on this. So there's this camaraderie. And I just think but it's also, there's no reason not to serve really good food. I don't think you have to settle for lesser food. You know, we cook great stuff out in the parking lot, you know.
That's right.
With the food, how about at Eggtoberfest? The food that you saw going by there it's unbelievable. And everybody there, that might as well be a tailgate, because everybody there showed up with, brought everything they needed for that day and their coolers and boxes and stuff. They rolled it in and they had everything they needed. And I just really dig that. It's easy to cook at home. Everything's right there in the cabinet, you know.
Exactly. Taking
out to the parking lot is a challenge.
I love that you said that, because that's, to me, that's kind of the fun too, is to make these amazing meals and these amazing dishes with, you know, the bare necessities. And that's why we get along so great, Doc.
That's true.
In South Africa, we camp, and we camp a lot, and it's so much fun to prepare that fantastic meal around a campfire. And it's the same, like you said. And folks, for those of you that don't know what the Eggtoberfest is, it's the biggest Bigger and Egg Fest. It's amazing. It's at Stone Mountain Park. Been there for the past 2 years. It'll probably be there again this year. And it's a big tailgating festival. It's people cooking on Bigger and Eggs and making these amazing meals. But it's like you said, it's just about a tailgating, you know. And it's fantastic to see the kind of things that people come up with. So, Doc, one more question before I let you go, and I'm so thankful that you took the time to talk with me tonight.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Do you have your money on anybody? Who do you have a prediction for? Who's going to end up in the Super Bowl? Or not really? We've got the Patriots, which I'm hoping for, and the Colts, and the Seahawks, and the Packers. So, yes, you said Seattle.
I would have thought you thought football was played with a round ball, Linky.
No, that's rugby. No, okay. I'm more a rugby girl than a soccer girl. So don't make fun. I'm still learning the rules about football, but I'm getting there very quickly.
Okay. Well, I'm going with Seattle because they're the next team that has the opportunity to beat the Packers. But I think I'll probably stay with them. I'm an NFC guy, so I think I'm on the Seahawks now.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see, and I'm very excited to see. I'm hoping the Pats are going to be in there, and I'm gonna nag you about that for the next few weeks. But Doc,
well,
thank you so much for. Oh yeah, we can have a bet. What are we betting? A mini max?
Well, first they both got to win and get in the Super Bowl, and then we'll talk about it.
I know. I know. Well, Doc, thank you so much for coming. Guys, you can find Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampe. You can find him on Twitter, on Facebook. Do you have an Instagram, Doc?
I do, but I don't really know how to use it yet. I've been trying. I've been working on it.
Okay. Well, one of these days he'll have an Instagram. You guys can follow him there as well. But he's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. He's an amazing guy that has great recipes. So many great cookbooks out there. You guys should find his on his website. There's a lot of the cookbooks. DrBarbecue.com. And if you have any questions for me, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of the above. My website is Living Linky Style. And if you guys have any questions, just let me know, and I will. We'll try to work it into my shows. Thank you guys so much for listening tonight. Doc, thanks so much for coming on, and I hope that you stay nice and warm in Florida.
Anytime, Linky. Good to hear you. Yes, it's warm in Florida.
Absolutely. All right, y'all, have a great night, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to Living Linky Style. Until next time, go get your mouth stuffed with delicious goodness.
Chicago.